The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome back Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, because today we want to talk about a kind of hidden factor from the COVID-19 pandemic, which is the amount of family and school and ritual events that have had to be cancelled. So, you know, if you're leaving primary school or secondary school or confirmation or first communion, it's not something that comes around every other year. And therefore, is it something that they will miss out on, these important rituals? Stephanie, first of all, what's your central point here?
I think the central point is that I think it's very easy for us to sort of, you know, I hear people sometimes being quite negative about young people at the moment. And oh, what is it? It's only 3 months, you know, it's only a couple of months. And of course, in the context of all of what is happening and of what you know and I know of the deaths and all of that, it is huge. You know, it seems like a small thing. And you think, well, they have a whole lifetime ahead. And all of those things are true. But it doesn't mean that in their own individual world that they aren't missing something very important. And it's not that we're saying we have to change the whole world around and pretend this isn't happening for them. I don't think it's that. But I think we do have to acknowledge that there is a reality to the depth of sort of difficulty that's going on for some. And I suppose I'm thinking of the transition from national school to secondary school. And I'm thinking of those then from secondary school to work or college. And if you think about it, there's the ritual factor, and then there's surrounding all of that. The fact that they're not having these usual rituals that we have, which we'll talk about in a moment, it's also within the whole umbrella then of the uncertainty that is around. Uncertainty for the future, how college will be. Let's just talk about them for a moment. Will it be online? Are they going to, I mean, some colleges have already in the UK even said everything is going to be online. So even the year ahead, it's not just the summer, it's the year ahead becomes unsure. They're not going to have Freshers Week. They're not going to have these things. So there's a lot changing. And the certainty of, as we know, ceremony, it brings a certain certainty, doesn't it? And I think that absence is even more felt because of all of what's not ahead as well,
I think it's also the case that whatever you throw at a 70-year-old, and I find this as I get older myself, I've seen all this before, and you kind of roll with the punches and say, well, this will be a 9-day wonder, or you know what, this too will pass. When you're 7 young. Or 14, you don't actually think like that. You actually, it's kind of, you're in the moment, and it's quite awesome and overwhelming.
Yes.
So give us some examples of what you're talking about.
And you're absolutely right. You're touching on it there, that their worlds are, they're not as large in the sense that they haven't got the forward and back that you have to put things in a perspective. And their worlds, like, okay, if we talk, let's just say, for example, when I think of it, and I'm trying to think of it here in the psychological sense, if you think of the, you know, the missing of the communions, well, I think of that in the context, of course, of it's a important day. It's a kind of a transition from, you know, to a kind of a sense of an age of a little bit of responsibility, that the child is able for more responsibility and able to really know kind of, you know, wrong from right and all of that. But it's an important kind of day in their calendar, and they prepare for it an awful lot in school. But I suppose we have there the possibility that it can be included next year. And they're still within their same group of friends. So I feel that there's more leeway there for that grouping. Whereas if you go forward or jump to the other end even, to the college kids, you know, or those who are heading out of school, they would usually have their end of year, they would have their holiday, they would have their, you know, leaving school kind of tours and fun and nights out and all of that. And they're all gone. The only thing, and I've talked to a few of them, and they would say the Debs is what's ahead for them. Okay, they still know there's a lot of uncertainty about, you know, the leaving cert and all of that, leaving that aside. The Debs is something they hugely look forward to. And I think they're all living in hope that that is going to happen. And I certainly hope
Is Debs season?
Well, Debs is usually happens like end of September, beginning of October.
Okay, when they're in their new life, is that it?
When they're in their new life, exactly. And it's that opportunity they get to re-meet with their friends. So there's another lovely sort of possibility, and we do hope that will happen.
I doubt it if it's September.
I know, but I wouldn't like
but
to say
that. But she used to
let
him come out
loud.
Here. You won't
yes.
be coming out of your house until about November. But anyway,
yeah.
the point
is... But you see, you can take that. If you just to think of that, Ivan, you can take that. You can take that information. But I think that is something, even when I was talking to 18-year-olds, even though I had my doubts, I found myself not expressing them because I felt they aren't able for 6 months, you're not going to do this, you know?
Well, no, sir, the only reason I say that is, A, it's indoor, and B,
yes.
I would say the maximum of 100 people indoor will continue long after, you know, because it'd be considered a mass event. And for that reason, I was thinking, because most of them would be over 100 people, I would have thought.
Yes.
But tell
exactly.
me this, tell me this, in terms of looking at alternatives, because it goes without saying that I have said repeatedly some of the things I've seen for first communions, for confirmations, in terms of the dress wear, in terms of the bouncy castle, in terms of the sort of whole kind of orgy of celebration, that it's over the top. Maybe, you know, people will get back to simply having family meals and, you know, things like that to really appreciate the essence and do away with some of the dross. Could there be an upside?
Well, you know, that's I suppose, a point that sometimes it does bring us back to the essence of things. But for the group that are there now, they're going to miss, we're not going to change the dress overnight and the whole desire for all these things. But I do accept that over time it may become a more pure and a different kind of event. But that kind of has to happen organically, doesn't it? For the moment, children who expected to go have their confirmation, who expected to have a communion, they have been told, you know, it's just no, it's just not happening. It's a bit like the weddings, cancelled. But if you think about, if you just put the sixth class grouping there, I think they step out a little bit from others because they are leaving, they are, you know, we talked earlier in the year, do you remember about the whole job of life thing and
yeah.
all of that, that they're, this is, like all these rituals are about transitioning, really. They're about leaving one sort of part of your life and getting ready and preparing and turning your, you know, turning your energy towards your new life and this new phase of your life. And so it's all about, there's an emotional side to it. There's a developmental side to it. There is also a kind of a letting go of the past and a kind of a valuing of the past. And that's why the endings are really important, so that they can internalize the whole value and bring it with them. And I talked to a lovely teacher, just really to check, more than anything, I wanted to check that I was sort of not on the wrong track here, because I don't particularly deal with 6 year, you know, 12-year-olds or 14-year-olds. I tend to deal with adults more, but obviously I would know about it through the parents. But I just wanted to check, and I spoke to, and with her permission, kind of, you know, mentioning her as well. It's Rachel Hackett. She's a sixth class teacher in St. Paul's Airfield here in the North Side. And I was just asking her about what it was really like for them. And she, I thought, described just so well that they had, you know, they were very aware already in February about all of this. And so they kind of, they knew that things were getting worrisome. And but then when the actual lockdown came, just how it was all a little bit stunning and a little bit, oh, they were all quite subdued. But there was a lot of kind of, a lot of chit-chat about, oh, sure, we'll be back and, you know, we'll see you in no time. But that all kind of changed then to it being so prolonged. So if you think of this just for a 12-year-old, that all of a sudden the kids that they've spent the last sort of 8 years with, they're gone. And you're not in a position to see them, and you're not going to sit in that class again. And there has been no group meetings, and there isn't going to be. And so they, as teachers, and this sort of, I think they're trying to both navigate not just the learning and teach them what they need to be taught, but they're also trying to navigate this whole emotional space. And they've done a number of really interesting things. First of all, they did this, I thought, really nice, to kind of change the narrative so that the children really felt that they were, how would I say, that they were active in what was happening, that they weren't just sort of sitting at home and couldn't do, you know, that things weren't happening, but rather that they were kind of children who were playing their part, who were protecting their grandparents, which I know has been the national narrative too, but for them, protecting their grandparents or maybe protecting their friend's grandparent. And they really got them into all of that, which I thought was lovely, very protective, psychologically very protective. And then for the confirmation time and all of that, they built up she got all of them to write poems, and they've built up a kind of, you know, like a lockdown response. And what I thought was really interesting is, so here in many ways, this teacher is giving them the emotional tools to make sense of what is happening out there in the world. And I have to say, when she read me the poems, honestly, I just couldn't believe. And maybe at the end, if you have time, I can share one of those with
you.
Yeah,
give us one. This is a sixth class, so this would be a 13-year-old, 12-year-old.
Exactly. This would be a 12-year-old. Okay. Not more than 12. My lockdown poem, and it's by a boy, Christopher Craig. The school is empty, most working from home, many with loved ones, yet some on their own. The desks are abandoned. I wish you were back. I so miss your faces, the banter, the crack. I feel for our operatives on the front line, cleaning hospitals, clinics. It's not a nice time. We've to queue at Tesco. Club sidelines have no cheer. The streets are deserted. There's panic. There's fear. Be glad we're in Ireland. There may be a slump. Be grateful we've Leo, not Boris nor Trump. We will beat Corona and see her retreat, and life will be normal and life will be sweet. Look after each other, be gracious and share. Be thankful for people who love you and care. Pretty good for a 12-year-old.
Yeah, and it rhymes, and it's very, very, very good.
It's very evocative, I thought.
Yeah, it is. So tell me this. What you're saying is that endings need to be benchmarked as milestones in people's lives. So, in terms of the circumstances that we're dealing with now, and people who acknowledge this, both the peers and the planners, we'll say they're teachers.
The policy planners.
I mean, surely, what is the antidote to this? I mean, in terms of should they have an event before the end of the year of a kind of past pupils thing? Should they say, look, we're going to hold a special set of confirmations and communions out of season to deal with this age group? In other words, what solutions are you coming up with?
I think there are reunion days are something that I'm not the first one to think of it, but I think reunion days are a definite possibility. But obviously the time for that may be 6 months on now, it may be more. And that, I think, can address some of the issues. But I think some of them have to be addressed right now as summer passes, as we're moving into this phase. And I don't know if you're aware, but there's been a very lovely movement on set up by Sarah Webb. She's a children's author. I don't know her personally, and I don't know her work personally, but I followed this, and it's just so touching. She got going, if you like, on Twitter with a hashtag sort of help the sixth class, and she got a whole load of scientists, writers, you know, activists like Sinead Burke, Sinead O'Riordan, all of different authors to contribute to a video, which is a 1 hour long, actually. And this is worth a watch for people. And this one now will be going out to all of sixth class. And I think she's done something very special, because what she has done is she has really acknowledged in this, you know, she's acknowledged the challenge for these kids. She's also, you know, she's acknowledged the ending, but she's also really spoke to them like a little, you know, a very special class. You know, that they are living through history, they have done special things, that they are sort of the future of Ireland, they are future presidents, future scientists, future authors, and each of the contributors have really kind of, you know, addressed the child themselves. So I think we can be creative. This is a really creative video, and obviously with great contributions. So that's what can be done. And I think that's an example of what can be done. I mean, we can be creative, of course, with the Zoom, and with the online. But I do think that parents and us, every one of us, I think we need to just kind of catch it that maybe also we need now to think about not forgetting about them as they leave school and saying, sure, aren't they grand, they're home with their parents. And I'd even say I've been slightly, well, for younger kids, I have felt that. I didn't feel it, I have to say, for those in transition, because I think it's a huge step. And, you know, psychologically, we really know, Ivan, that the biggest and most complicated steps when any problems begin to emerge for children and for, if you like, young adults, they tend to be at the transition point.
But what about this? I mean, like, kids are resilient. I mean, you know, a lot of parents would be delighted that Shagaloof isn't happening. But the real carnage here is those who would have provided the venues for all these events, those who take the photographs at these events, those who do the PA systems, and so many people that I can think of, the people in the Gaeltacht who would have been the host to the kids that would have come, like take something like
yes.
the zoo or Belfast Titanic Centre, all mm-hmm. the school tours would have done to, you know, and that's a seasonal business.
Yes.
I mean, like, there is another side of this, which is
yes,
that this is a huge, huge financial loss, which actually, you know, has to be put in the context of maybe the kids should be told, look, we realise this is difficult for you, but there's a lot of people who are suffering more.
Yeah, but they get that. This is the point. They get that. But a bit like you were saying at the beginning, you're an adult and you can look at this in a different light. Don't expect children to be able to look at it in that light. Like, it's too much to expect, isn't it? And, like, they are... I think you can be shocked at how much they get it and get the sadness of it and get the challenge of it. Of course, they're not going to get the business challenge of it. But I think that parents are being very good at... And I think kids are seeing the bigger context, you know? They do know that this is terribly difficult. But they're not going to understand that the photographer, you know, the freelance photographer with his own self-employed kind of business and how he's managing, he's not going to get all that. And I think a little of that is good, but you have to give everyone, I think, the facility to hope. And because the future is evolving, it's not fixed.
Okay.
Isn't it true?
Okay. Although I think the most important thing you can teach your kids is resilience. You know what?
Yes.
Just do not count, darling, the number of times you get knocked down, only the number of times you get back
up.
It's how you get up. You get back up again. And that's, like, I think, you know, sometimes I know I'm accused of tough love the whole time, but I mean, I honestly think that if you kind of wallow in, oh, how awful it is, as opposed to, hey, you know what? In the lifespan of a cancer diagnosis or something else, this ain't the worst thing that's going to happen to you in your life.
Yes, that's true. But you see, you also, that is true. And, you know, it's important that kids have hope and that you build them up to understand that life can change, and there's no doubt that this generation are going to understand that better than perhaps we'd ever did, that what you have today, you may not have tomorrow. But you don't want to be crippled by that fear. You just want to be aware of it. And I think a lot of young people are more aware of it than you give them credit for. That's really my point.
All right.
I have another second lovely poem. Would you like to hear it?
Go for it, yeah.
So it's, "Whose playground this is, I think I know. I remember it full of children, though. The playground is closed, the path is quiet, only the creak of the swings as I cycle by it. I stop at my granddad's, we wave and smile, I haven't been able to hug him in a while. My wander is over, home again once more, grateful for the little things as I close the door. The sound of laughter echoes in my head as I drift off to sleep in my bed." And that's by a kid, Sam Pearl, who wrote that. And I just think it really touches, I found it very touching how much they have taken in of the challenge that is ahead for them.
Indeed, indeed. And on that poetic note, my thanks to the authors, the school kids of the authors, but especially to Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist.